Guys, we always like to have you check us out on thevalleyoutdoors.com. And where else, Donald?
On Facebook as well.
Yeah, absolutely. We're going to be filling that thing up. I've got a bunch of backlogged images that I'm going to be putting on there, spreading them out, and talking a little bit about this and that as well. So asking some questions and maybe get some people to put some photos up on the website and little fun stuff from there. So it should be good. But definitely check us out. And I'll mention it one more time. Don't forget to register for Fish With Me.
No, Fish With Us.
No, it's me, because they're going to be fishing with me. They can fish. You could say the same thing about you. Fish with
all
you.
All right. Fish yeah. Fish with us. If you're looking for it on the website, it's
it'll fish, say fish with us. Fish yes, with it us. Does. I know. I just have fun with it. It's. I mean, it's just going to be a blast. I love that. It's
and we eat fairly good.
yeah. No joke. No joke at all. Don?
Yes.
We'll go Minnesota for right now.
Okay.
And the DNR has announced that they are having some different CWD sampling changes. And, of course, CWD is chronic wasting disease. And they're adapting, which is nice to see. They're adapting the approach to accommodate and try to give more options to get deer tested, because they want to get more deer tested. They want to find out where these deer are coming from and keeping the deer population healthy. And that's what the DNR Wildlife Section Manager, Kelly Straka, said. She's looking at the DNR's commitment to sound surveillance and aggressive management at CWD has not changed. What's different is how we are accomplishing that from place to place and improving options for hunters to help us with disease surveillance. Hunters will be able to submit samples through taxidermists who are partnering with the DNR or by dropping their deer heads off at self-service sampling stations. Other options available include mail-in kits. Hunters remove the lymph nodes from the deer themselves by dropping one of the DNR staffed sampling stations during the opening weekend of firearm season, or making appointments at area wildlife offices within CWD zones at any time during the hunting season. The biggest difference I think people are going to see is that this fall there will be fewer self-service sampling stations than in previous seasons. These self-service stations will be available only in firearm season, with the exception of point-based surveillance zones, which will have stations available starting with archery season and remaining available until sampling goals are met. So they want to get X number of samples to get a good sampling size. And visit the DNR Make a Plan page to learn more about the self-service sampling stations. And, of course, you can do that by how, Don?
The simplest way is to go to our website, because we have a map of the United States. Just click on Minnesota, and you're going to get all the information from the Department of Natural Resources there. And that goes for any state in the country.
Yep. CWD sample submissions will be mandatory in all CWD zones during the opening weekend of firearms A season, November 5th through 6th, for all hunters harvested deer 1 year or older. Locations of those sampling partners will continue to be updated on the DNR website through us. And last but not least, one of the big things for me is the carcass movement restrictions are in effect for CWD management and control zones during all seasons. Whole carcasses cannot leave those zones until a not detected test is received. And you can find the restrictions on page 73 of the Minnesota Hunting Regulations page. So, and moving into something similar, which you can still go onto the website and find out, but now the hunting regs and deer licenses are now available, Don. We know we're moving into the fall when that happens.
Well, we're coming up to hunting season, so.
It is here, and purchases, they just started, I think it was the beginning of last week or just slightly prior to that, and the Minnesota following deer seasons, they're going to set up as this. Saturday, September 17th through Saturday, December 31st is archery. The youth and early antlerless seasons, Thursday, October 20th through Sunday, October 23rd. Firearms is Saturday, November 5th, and closing date depends on your hunter area.
Are you talking Minnesota?
Mm-hmm. I said Minnesota.
Okay.
Yep, Minnesota. And then muzzleloader is Saturday, November 26th through Sunday, December 11th. And again, we're just trying to get people primed up. It happens to be Minnesota. We can talk about the others as we go through the next week or so.
Those dates are going to be available on our website.
Exactly. And pretty exciting because we are now in that.
Well, it's time to get prepared. You know, we should be talking. I mean, I think we probably have some dog trainers coming up here. I mean, it should be prime for that. And
absolutely.
And getting your firearms ready.
Well, and Don, you know, the so many people forget that conditioning your dog is important. Really important.
Yep.
More importantly is if you're out conditioning your dog, do not forget, if you think hey, it's nice out and it's calm, cool, and comfortable, you got to bring water for your dog, and you got to make sure they rest frequently, because the hot weather, it triples the effect of having an overheat. And it happens instantaneously. And know the signs, and we'll have some dog people on to talk about, some vets to talk about it. But I've personally experienced it, and it is not something you want to watch when your dog goes into heat prostration and the fade happens. And when you watch the fade happen, you have to make things happen quick to recover that dog. And again, you don't think it's a big deal. You don't think the temperature's that bad, but when they're running through the weeds and it's overheat, you got to make sure you keep track of that.
Yeah, I've been there. I mean, I was in South Dakota that one year, not too many years back, where we lost, in one day, they lost like 150 dogs. And, and I was in the field with mine. I let her run once and could see there was going to be issues. I kenneled her up and made sure she was watered and got her in the shade.
Yep. And so, again, it involves training.
You know, if you're training, you got to do that early morning now.
Yep.
Because of the heat. It's got to be, you know, sun up is when you're going to.
Well, and the difficult part becomes people, when do they have time?
Right. Well, it's got to be before they go to work.
Or it's got to be after work.
Yep.
You know, so, and most people will do after work because you have more time and daylight. And that's the difficult part of it. So I'm just jumping into some happy stories here, Don.
Yep.
This is not one that I took lightly. When I pulled this story, it really hit hard because I've spent many days, many days on Lake Erie, both in rough water, calm water, and most every one of them involved big fish. And DNA of Asian carp has now reportedly been found in Lake Erie. Silver carp, of course, can reach 20 to 40 pounds, and they jump big time. In this case, they announced that they conducted out of Pennsylvania the targeted invasive species sampling out of Presque Isle Bay in Erie County after the U.S. Fish and Wildlife Service detected the presence of silver carp environmental DNA. On the 11th of July, Pennsylvania was informed that the U.S. Fish and Wildlife Service conducted routine DNA sampling, detected silver carp DNA at one of the 100 sampling stations in Presque Isle. In response to the detection, they conducted a targeted boat electrofishing sampling near the detection location. Good news is there was no silver carp collected or observed. In addition, a boat electrofishing sampling operations conducted by the same Pennsylvania Fish and Wildlife Area did another purposeful testing to the DNA and did not capture any invasive species there either, or shock them. And this is the tough part, though. While no physical invasive species specimens were detected, they requested that they collect additional water samples from Presque Isle Bay in the fall when more favorable environmental conditions are presented for sampling. That's scary, Don.
How did they determine they were there?
DNA. They can test it and get the DNA in the water. They can come up with
that. Oh, really?
It's pretty amazing what they can come up with.
Wow.
The detection of DNA is simply that. It determined the presence of the eDNA of an Asian carp. It doesn't determine whether the presence was from live fish or from another source, such as bird feces, water transported in a live well with recreational boat recently in infested waters, or from melted ice used to store silver carp at fish markets that flowed into storm sewers. However, repeated detections over time increases the concern a genetic material may have come from that area. And I will tell you right now.
Let's hope it don't happen.
Well, Don, you know what happens. If people don't understand, they think, oh, no big deal. It's not, so what? So they, you know, some invasive species. They spawn, and, I mean, they're like pigs. They reproduce and reproduce and reproduce. They have no natural enemy.
Right.
A. B, the other issue is that they eat the phytoplankton, which the minnows survive on. and then the food chain comes crumbling to a halt in a quick hurry. And if it gets into Lake Michigan, Lake Erie, if it gets to Lake Erie, then it goes to Lake Michigan. There's no regulation that you're to be able to stop at that point. And the number of fish and amazing fishery that Lake Erie is, it would devastate that fishery. And that fishery's been through a lot from the years that it was basically the lake on fire, if you remember that, when they had all the dumping going on from all the mills and the oil refineries. The lake, that the rivers that were flowing into Erie were literally on fire. They had it some days it would literally, the surface would be on fire. And to where it's at now, just absolutely amazing, the turnaround that they've made. So all I can say is let's certainly hope that that is not going to be the case, and that we are keeping those at bay in this particular case.
So, what's their forage?
Phytoplankton.
And what happens when you run out of them?
That's when the minnows die.
And then so does their forage.
Well, they'll move on and do something else or move to a different area, but they'll devastate and move.
I mean, so, it'll be bad news as you go through that, for sure.
Yeah, they're finding some of that down south, so in the rivers down around here. So, one last story quickly here. Looking at something that surprised me, Don. You've been salmon fishing before, haven't you?
Yes.
That's a blast.
Yes.
And not only a blast to catch, but
to eat.
The eating's pretty darn good, too.
Yes.
Story comes out of Wisconsin on Lake Michigan. Angler landed the heaviest Chinook salmon caught in Wisconsin since 1994. This summer, the Minnesota angler Brian Sollers was fishing in Lake Michigan for just the second time. But he was in the right place at the right time. And he got a big one, 6:15 a.m. on July 31st. It slammed a moonshine spoon troll from the boat he was in. His spoon was 50 feet deep off a downrigger in about 160 feet of water. And he said, it was funny. I didn't feel any weight at first. Yeah. And then he said, well, I'm in the weeds. And then all of a sudden it took off on a long run, and his arm started aching during the fight. And for the time, he thought the fish would take all the line of his reel. Of course, they can take runs.
Was he in a charter?
Yeah.
Okay.
Just looking at the line disappear, he thought it was going to be about gone. He was hoping the fish would stop running at some point, and it did. And he was able to make some progress. He said it took about 15 minutes of hard work battling the huge Chinook, but he slowly worked the salmon close to the boat, and they netted the giant king salmon and brought it into the boat. It measured 44 inches long. And they think it was a wild salmon, which is a really good indication. It wasn't a clipped fin. And normally they're clipped at hatchery when they let go to identify those kind of kind of fish. And since Chinook salmon have been shown to spawn naturally in Lake Michigan, fish may have been naturally produced, according to the Fish and Wildlife Service. The fish measured 44 inches long, 28-inch girth, weighed, how much do you think it weighed, Don?
I have no idea, 35?
40 pounds.
Wow.
You imagine that thing swimming around?
Hey, put me back.
Well, I can attest. I had a 42-inch lake trout once, and it's a battle.
You know, and these things run, and lake trout just bulldog you.
Yep.
They just don't want to come up, and these things just get violent.
They run down, straight down. Lake trout does.
Yeah. And just crazy. But congrats to him. And, 1994, the biggest one is 47.5 inches long, and that was rated above 40 pounds as well. So congrats to him. And congrats to us, because we got one more segment left.
We'll be back
with more Bally Outdoors.
Here's your chance to fish with us, the Valley Outdoors. It's simple to do. Register online at thevalleyoutdoors.com and wait for your name to be drawn. We're giving away a trip to four individuals that includes lodging in Ashkenham Resort in Ash River and fishing the waters of Cabotogama and Namekin Lakes. Join Don and I on this fabulous fishing trip September 17th through the 22nd. You can bring your own boat or fish with one of us. Plus, a walleye seminar and contests for prizes throughout the trip. Just register today at thevalleyoutdoors.com. Trip sponsored by The Valley Outdoors Radio and Ashkenham Resort. Get registered today to fish with us. Winner announced on August 20th on The Valley Outdoors Radio Show. Complete promotional rules available at thevalleyoutdoors.com.
I got a hard-hitting story for you, Don.
Yeah?
Yep. It's one of these stories that you can't believe because
you're hard-hitting.
Hard-hitting. I'm going to talk louder and make it hit harder that way.
All right.
Does that work?
Bam.
Are you ready? Colorado asks anglers to catch and keep as many fish as possible before two reservoirs dry up.
How low are they?
How low can they be?
I don't know. Well, dry is dry. Are they talking dry?
Last month, Colorado Parks and Wildlife Department announced emergency public fish salvages for two reservoirs located on the state's eastern plains. Fishery managers expect that Jumbo and Queens reservoirs to dry up completely in the near future, and they are hoping the public can harvest as many fish as possible before that happens.
By any means?
The announcement comes as the CPW has implemented both voluntary and mandatory fishing closures on the trout streams throughout the state. The idea of closing some fisheries while declaring open season on others might seem to be contradictory, but these actions are merely different responses to the same problem. Many water bodies in Colorado are either running dry or warming up or both, and the state is doing whatever it can to protect the precious aquatic resource while still providing opportunities for anglers. Here's the best part about this. Catch them before they're gone. They've implemented the emergency fish salvage at Queens Reservoir starting this last July 21st. All bag and possession limits, along with fly and lure restrictions, have been lifted. Anglers are still required to use legal fishing methods and possess a valid Colorado fishing license. Due to declining water levels and increasing temperatures, the reservoir is in imminent danger of suffering catastrophic fish kill, said the regional manager. That's scary by all means, crazy scary. The issue is right now the mega drought that's going on also affects the Jumbo Reservoir, and 4 days later they implemented it there. Lots of people are off catching fish, and it's very unfortunate to be possibly losing such an incredible fishery. It's happening, though. And unfortunately, the drought is sapping Colorado reservoirs, and it's affecting some of the most popular trout streams. With this heat wave, by the end of July, they ordered voluntary fishing closures across several waterways in the state. So, yeah, one of those things. Sad deal, Don. Sad deal. And think about catching as many fish as you can and doing that.
I don't know. I think there's a lot more to be told there.
Yeah, I think there might be, but let's hope it doesn't get to that and they get rain. Well, unfortunately, we're at the end of our run and our rain on time, and we will be back next week. For Don, myself, and Action Jack, we are the Valley Outdoors, and we'll see you then.